Good morning. Today is Friday, April 25th, and the time is 8:30. I now call this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. At this time, I'll conduct a roll check. Rosie Morris contacted me to inform me that she will not be able to attend this morning's Audit Committee meeting because of a business conflict. Finance Commission Chair Philip Holt is attending in her place. Mr. Holt, are you present?
Here.
Mr. Osborne, are you present?
Here.
We have a quorum of the Audit Committee with three members present. If there is anyone wishing to address the commission, you'll need to fill out a witness affidavit form and bring it to the front. Public comments on non-agenda items are limited to 5 minutes and agenda items to 10 minutes. The first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on February 21st, 2025. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on February 21st, 2025?
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner Holt. Second. Thank you, Commissioner Osborne. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. We will move on to item B. Unfortunately, Commissioner Cooper is taken ill, but we have Deputy Commissioner Wendy Rodriguez who will present in his place. Deputy Commissioner Rodriguez, would you please give us your report?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Department of Banking audit activities report begins on page 5 of the packet. Buckle up, we've got several to talk about, so we're going to be here for a minute. The first one is the SORM Office of Risk Management, and they conducted their continuity operations plan review. We received, and it was completed in February, we received positive feedback with no findings and no additional recommendations. Based on our historical performance and our submissions, the DOB was invited to participate in SORM's third tier review process, which is going to take place the normal process that we normally follow. It's offered to agencies with advanced programs who are no longer benefiting from the normal review. To participate, you must have submitted your exercises and continuity plans consistent with the review for 5 years and not received any major recommendations. So as I said, it'll replace our annual biannual continuity reviews. The invitation is an honor and a testament to our continued efforts to improve our operations, and Sammy Chadley has done a good job of ensuring that we remain compliant. The next audit listed is the Comptroller's post-payment audit follow-up, and this is for the September 22 post-payment audit. We've got several items that they looked at. The areas of scope are the payroll, purchase, procurement, and payment credit card and contract transactions, travel, and internal controls. Of these areas, we're in various stages of either implementation or in progress of completing the full cycle. Several checklists have been implemented to improve our compliance and to ensure that all steps are being taken in each area of each process. Of special note, on the internal control finding situation there, the agencies continue to attempt to comply, but one of the reasons would be for this not compliance necessarily would be the staff shortages that we've experienced that don't allow us to take away full rights from the individuals that we do have currently in the area. We're working on our staffing situation to comply and to hire additional staff to reach that compliance level. The third audit listed would be the Garza Gonzalez Money Service and Business Audit, which will be discussed later on in the meeting. So I will leave that for Garza to provide. There are no findings to report, but they will provide you some general information on that. The next audit on page 6 is the Texas Department of Public Safety audit. And this is the access and dissemination policy and CJIS security policy of our human resources area. There were 3 recommendations for improvement, all of which are being addressed or were addressed during the review itself. The next audit listed would be the state auditor's office. for the self-directed semi-independent audit. That is in process right now. We've had multiple meetings throughout those last several months with the auditors, providing them information so they can complete their review. We have received notice that they are planning on completing their field work early May, so they can begin their report writing. We anticipate an exit meeting, hopefully sometime in forthcoming couple of weeks. The next audit listed is the Department of Public Safety audit. This is also an access and dissemination policy and CJIS security policy review for our corporate group. This began on April 8th. Since then, that's been completed. We've received a preliminary report and are providing our management responses, and we do anticipate a final report to follow soon. And finally, I've got the Garza Gonzalez revenue accounting process audit. That is actually in process at this moment. We've had several meetings. Also, that is in, I guess, will be for the June meeting to be reported later. The one thing I did fail to put into the packet is that they're also conducting follow-up audits on previous year audits for areas where they may have had some recommendations. That would be the trust examinations, human resources, and procurement. So that will also be completed and ready for the June audit committee meeting. And since publishing this, we got one more. we got word that our Texas cybersecurity framework assessment will begin in July. And that finally concludes my report.
I've got a question if you mind. When we're facing some of these audits, such as the Texas Department of Public Safety, and they implement these new forms, is that a big budget hit, or is that just a pretty minor
adjustment? No, it's pretty minor. Okay. I mean, we just have to implement the forms themselves.
Okay.
And have them.
Any questions? All right, Commissioner Pettijohn, your report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our report is on page 20, and I'll run through the items. The first item is the TF fund investment portfolio administration by our internal auditors, which will be presented later, so we'll hold that. Next is our cybersecurity framework assessment that was in progress. We have received our draft report. It still has to go through their finalization process and their quality assurance, so we expect to receive the report sometime soon, the final report, and so we'll report on this at the June meeting. We'll do that in executive session since it's cybersecurity related. Next is our DPS audits. We've combined both of them. They're two separate audits. One's on our HR area and the other is in the licensing area, and this relates to the, you know, just access and dissemination of criminal history information. And so one of those, we do have a final report, and the other one, we've received the draft preliminary report. We're waiting on the final report, so we decided to wait and pull those together, and we'll present those all to you together in the June meeting. But I think similar issues, some forms that we need to some recommendations about adopting some different forms into particular policies and so on and so forth. So then the next item will be scheduled later in the year. And the last item is this outstanding item, which I think we're going to end up resolving through those current audits on criminal history information. This one's been outstanding for a while. There was some confusion about what was expected, and I think we're going to resolve that through this particular audit. So that, happy to answer any questions on those.
Any questions for Commissioner Pettijohn? Thank you. Commissioner Retta, your report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the first two, actually, the self-directed semi-independent audit and the post-payment procurement audit, in both cases, they are largely done. We have received some preliminary meetings with them, preliminary reports, but it's still to be finalized, so we'll be likely reporting on those in June and expect to. On the third, on the cybersecurity framework assessment, much like the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner, all the work has been done. We've had the preliminary review meeting with them earlier this week, just 2 days ago, the draft review of the results, and that in the same way will be done in June in terms of being presented into executive session in June. Then on the DPS secure site audit, all of that field work was conducted. We have had meeting subsequent to that or preliminary results are some steps to be taken. And again, in June, we should have a final report there. And then with respect to the thrift examinations, we did receive notice on Garza Gonzalez, and so that will begin in the next 30 to 60 days. And that is the report.
Any questions for Commissioner Ritter? All right, thank you. Item C is next. Deputy Commissioner Rodriguez, please give us your report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the page 22 is the Department of Banking's quarterly investment report. On that first item to report, the prepaid funeral funds, there is no seizures to report, so there's no activity there. On page 23, you'll find the trust-funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund. This activity here is limited to activity of $2,800 in consumer restitution that had to be escheated. And then on page 24, you'll find the insurance-funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund. And that activity is limited to interest only. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Pittajohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to call upon Moran Diamond to provide the report for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner.
Good morning, Moran Diamond, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. The investment officer report starts on page 25 of your packet for our agency. There is normal activity in the recovery fund, and you will note a transfer of $7,750 in Q2 following the renewal period for our residential mortgage loan originators, which ended December 31st. Moving to page 26, additions again of approximately $107,000, which includes a $100,000 transfer in Q2 following the renewal period for credit access businesses, which ended December 31st as well. And we will be doing a supplemental transfer in Q3. Also, you'll note in that report about $32,000 in a transfer to cover grant reimbursements. Overall, about $58,000 in growth in the portfolio in Q2. That's all for me, unless there are any questions. Questions? Thank you. Mr. Ritter, your report, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 27 and 28 would be the report. The first one, first page, 27 is report on the recovery fund, and it shows what is earmarked for the mortgage grant program balance detailed in the top half of the page. And then report on the overnight repurchase agreements that we have in place. On page 28, we give the balance of the mortgage grant fund. It's at $277,506, and we'll have to talk a little bit more of the detail on that in the report at the end of the agenda. And that is my report.
Thank you. Questions? All right, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2025 second quarter investment officer report?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Philip Holt, second.
Thank you, Commissioner Holt. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. We will now move on to item D. Deputy Commissioner Rodriguez, please continue.
Thank you. I'd like to ask our Chief Financial Officer, Sammy Chen, to provide the agency's report.
Good morning, Sammy Chen, Department of Banking. On page 29 is our operating statement for the second quarter, where it shows that our actual revenues are at 117.1% of budget and actual expenditures are at 107.6% of budget. Just want to point out that this statement reflects the department's share of the Kemp Hubbard land purchase, land acquisition of $1.4 million. I will go over that in the next pages. On page 30 are our various explanations. I will go over four items. The first one, penalties for non-depository supervision. There's a variance there, and that is due to higher than anticipated collected penalties, primarily associated with the regulatory non-compliance matters by money services businesses. Second item under employee compensation and benefits, we had vacancies in terms of FTEs as of the end of quarter two. We had 42, 8 in the administrative side and 34 on the examiner side. Item number three, under information technology, we had a negative variance, and that is due to the purchase of a higher capacity UPS battery than planned. But just we've had a lot of power outages in this building, so that will take care of that. On page 31 is our land acquisition, and basically that just gives you a breakdown of each agency share of the total purchase price of $2.76 million. Any questions so far?
Just a question. Who holds the land? The Lake Commission of Texas. Everybody puts in. Who actually owns the land?
The three agencies.
Oh, all three are named on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much.
On page 32 is our liquidity report, and you will notice that our unreserved cash is slightly above the 6 month maximum. It's at 6.47%, and that is due to a combination of collection of those penalties that we mentioned and the reduction in the building reserve for the land purchase. Any questions? All right.
Thank you, Sammy.
Thank you.
Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you. We're going to ask Moran Diamond to come back up and provide the report for our
musical chairs.
Yep.
Moran Diamond, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. Your second quarter financial statement is for the OCCC is on page 33 of your packet. I just wanted to highlight a few items from the variance on the following page. First, starting with revenue, overall revenues are at about 99% of the budget. With regard to pawn, that is about 59% under what we projected through Q2. We are receiving fewer pawn applications. However, we're about to enter our renewal cycle for that industry group. So we should see that climb up between Q2 and Q3. Moving to expenditures, overall expenditures are at 108% of the budget. I wanted to note professional services, and that's just some costs for accounting, legal, and architectural services that we haven't incurred yet. Moving to the liquidity report on page 35. Total unreserved cash at the end of the period was $5.4 million with 7 months of operating costs available. And as a reminder, a large portion of the OCCC's revenue is collected in Qs 1 and 2 of each fiscal year. So we will see some change in that as well throughout the remainder of the year.
Thank you. I just wanted to note one item for the commission, which will change going forward, but in the land acquisition, we showed that as a budgeted amount, even though I know it wasn't contained in our operating budget. We were trying to hold a neutral position in terms of showing, you know, we could have shown transfer rent of restrictions and so on and so forth from the reserve funds, but we'll make it consistent with the other two agencies and show it as a zero budgeted item. So that's the difference between the 93.9% versus the 108.4% that Maria mentions on the percentage of expenditures. Yeah, that's the difference. If you backed out that as a budgeted item. So, you know, presentation style, I know the commission tends to want us to be consistent in how we approach that. So if y'all have any feedback on how you want us to present it, we can certainly take that into account. But we'll, at this point, plan to make it consistent with how the other agencies approach it.
All right,
thanks. Thank you. Commissioner Renna. Thank you, Madam Chair. Antonia Antoff, the Director of Operations, will present the report beginning on page 36, and then the liquidity report is on page 38.
Good morning, Antonia Antoff for Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. Our financials begin on page 36. All the variances are explained in page 37. The couple of items that I want to address. Our first in miscellaneous revenues, we have a settlement of $1.9 million that we have received. It's a multi-state settlement against a licensed entity, and that obviously was not budgeted for, so it increased a lot our revenues during this quarter. And the second item is the other two agencies discussed it. The land acquisition, and it was not budgeted for. After these two items, our revenues are at 37% over budget, and the expenditures are at 4% over budget. Our liquidity report is on page 38. Due to that received settlement, we're currently at 10.8 months of reserves, but that is historically are also a high point for our revenues because we receive all the renewals of licenses in the first and second quarter. In the third and fourth quarter, this should go down. We're still looking into whether we're going to be in compliance with the six-month policy because that settlement was quite large. So we'll be looking at and budgeting, you know, for next year and how we're going to address that. And that's my report, unless you have any questions.
Anyone have any questions?
Thank you.
Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2025 second quarter financial statements?
Philip, I'll move.
Do I have a second?
Commissioner Osborne, second.
Thank you. Commissioner Osborne, any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. We will now move on to item E, and Ms. Kimberly Lopez Gonzalez from Garza Gonzalez and Associates will be presenting the Texas Department of Banking's audit report.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Kim Lopez Gonzalez, representing Garza Gonzalez and Associates, the internal auditor for this agency, for the three agencies of the Finance Commission. I'm here this morning to present to you for this item, the results of the audit for the MSB for the Texas Department of Banking. And that report is included in your packet on pages 39 through 51. This audit began in February of 25 and concluded on March 4th with a final report being submitted to management on March 13th. That's just to put it in perspective, put all the work in perspective. There is a lot of communication that we have, a lot of procedures that we perform. We did have a representative come on site to perform some testing as well, and some of it was done remotely from our offices. But the report that we had full cooperation from all staff members responsible for this area, and that made for an efficient audit to be performed. Although there is a lot of time that it takes to perform the audit, we do take a lot of time from the staff, and we appreciate that they are flexible and provide all information timely. That's no different from previous years either. But on pages 39 through, as I indicated, pages 39 through 51 does have that report for you. And page 41 of the report is our report to you, indicating that we did perform procedures to assess the effectiveness and efficiency of the MSB area for the four-month period ended December 31st, 2024. Wendy did steal my thunder to tell you that we did not have any any comments to report as a result of the audit, but I'm happy to report that to you. Page 42 of the report, just wanted to highlight that the 2025 approved internal audit report did have several items for us to perform as part of the audit for fiscal year 2025. The first item was completed, where we performed the risk assessment presented to you, the internal audit plan. The second one is scheduled for, or is in progress from, we are scheduled to complete that by today. There have been some communication between our office and Wendy and Jesse, who is responsible for the area. Actually, we were this area, the revenue accounting process audit. I know this is not the one I'm presenting, but just to give you a highlight, this is scheduled or in process, but because of the SAO audit, we did scale down our scope of that audit. So that's why I mentioned Jesse's name, because we are looking at the NDS area. And then the follow-up also will be scheduled to begin next week. But once that's completed, we will complete all these tasks that we were authorized to perform for fiscal year 2025. Pages 43 through 46 is what we titled the executive summary. That is the background of the information of the area that we audited, which is the MSB that includes the money transmission and currency exchange services performed by the Department of Banking. just to highlight some of this information that's included in these pages, as of December 31st, 2024, which is the end of the four-year period, which is the scope of our audit, there were 169 money transmitters, including the digital asset service providers, and there are also, and 22 currency exchangers. So those were the licensees that were included in the scope of the audit. Moving to page 44, in addition to that, another item to highlight is in that table there. During that period, the full scope examinations conducted during that period were a total of 28. The type is also listed there for you just to have that information. Page 45 of the report, during the period from September 1st, 2024 through December 31st, 2024, as part of this area, DOB does accept other states' ROEs report of examinations, and during that period, there was one that was accepted by DOB. In addition to that, pages 47 through 49 outline the objective, the scope, and the procedures performed. As you can see here, there were a number of procedures that were performed to allow us to perform the audit and to get to this part to prepare the audit report for presentation today. Pages 47 through 49 outline all the procedures that were performed. And as I indicated before, there were no comments or recommendations to be included in this report. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have related to this report at this time.
Any questions? Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Texas Department of Banking's Money Services Business Audit Report as prepared and presented by Garza Gonzalez Associates?
Commissioner Osborne, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Philip Holt.
Thank you, Commissioner Holt. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Ms. Gonzalez, I think you're still in the hot seat to present.
Thank you.
Report.
Yes. At this time, I'd like to present the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner's Internal Audit Report related to the TP Fund Investment Portfolio Administration. This audit report is found on pages 53 to 63 of your board packet. Just to give you some dates of the whole audit process, we did begin this audit on February 24th of 25. We completed it March 21st and were able to present a final report to management on April 9th of 2025. Again, no different from DOB, we had full cooperation. All information requested was provided in a timely manner. And as I indicated for DOB, we do take time from staff, but they are pretty flexible and willing to provide all information timely, which is appreciated because, again, it is an efficient audit that allows us to present this or complete the audit and prepare the report for presentation at these meetings. On page 55 of the report, this is our report to you, indicating that we did assess the effectiveness and efficiency of OCCC's internal control structure over the TP fund administration of their investments for the four-month period ended December 31st, 2024. As a result of the audit, there are positive results. We did not have any comments or recommendations, again, to report to you, and that are there's nothing to report in this report as far as any non-compliance that we found. Page 56, again, just to highlight the 2025 approved internal audit plan. Those tasks that were included, the first two have been completed with the presentation here for the second one. And on May 27th through June 13th, we do have the business licensing audit and follow-up schedule to be performed. This is the same timing that we have confirmed also for SML. So we will be performing both of those audits, the audits for both of those agencies at that time. Pages 57 through 59 is the background information related to the TP fund administration of the investments. And although the investments don't fall under the Public Funds Investment Act, their investment policy is structured and aligns with that. So a lot of the procedures that we perform are related similar to compliance with that. Page 58 of the report at the very bottom for the 4 months ended December 31st, 2024, There were no contributions that were made from the cash account to the investment account at that, but I just heard a report earlier that transfers were made after December 31st. Page 59 gives a snapshot of the balances in the TP fund cash and investment accounts. As of December 31st, the balance was 11.6 million. From September 24 through December 31st, 2024, OCCC collected a total of 180,800 in TP fees. And the disbursements during that period were 67,712. Pages 60 through 61 outlines the objective, the scope, and the procedures performed as to perform the audit. And as I indicated on pages 62 to 63, we have no comments to be that were included in this report. And at this time, I'd like to take any questions that you may have.
Any questions? All right. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioners, Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund Investment Portfolio Administrative Audit Report? That's a mouthful. As prepared and presented by Garza Gonzalez and Associates.
Philip Holt, so moved.
Thank you, Commissioner Holt. Second.
Osborne, second.
Thank you, Commissioner Osborne. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes.
Thank you,
Ms. Gonzalez. Next, we will move on to item G, Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to invite Treshayla Wilson forward to. Shayla works on our the activities of the Financial Education Endowment and also on financial education. I'd like to ask Shayla to provide our report.
Good morning, Shayla Wilson, Texas Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner. I will be giving you an update on TP activities, which begins on page 64 of your packet. We have reimbursed $295,852.16 to date. And we have conducted meetings with the majority of grant recipients to touch base on their program, ensure that their program activities still align with TP goals, and that there are no significant organizational changes. I would now like to direct your attention to our second semi-annual report for this grant cycle, which begins on page 65 of your packet. Our grantees have been doing exceptional work with the grant funds allocated towards financial education. They've made tremendous strides throughout this reporting period, significantly advancing the goals of their programs and positively impacting financial literacy in their communities. One example is Girl Scouts of Northeast Texas, which their summary is at the top of page 70, who was able to engage 3,125 individuals through troop workshops, teaching entrepreneurial skills, business ethics, and money management. So this far exceeded their projections for the second cycle. On page 71, you will see the summary for My Possibilities. We are also thoroughly impressed with their activities, and their program promoted foundational financial education through 162 hours of instruction as they successfully launched two new courses this reporting period. Unless there are any questions, this concludes my report.
Questions?
If we were to look at this from a map, are we covering as much as the state as we possibly can? I know by Northeast Texas and Panhandle, where I can see it. Is there a visual map coverage that you're comfortable with?
We will have one for the longitudinal report that we'll create, but that was one of the criteria for selecting grantees, that they provided well coverage for the area.
Good.
Yeah, we do.
I remember seeing that in the past.
Geographic distribution. Yeah, it comes in a different report book. Yeah.
Thank you.
And since we're approaching the next grant cycle, we'll be coming this fall, we'll be looking at that again for the next round. All right. Thank you, Trisha.
Thank you.
Thank you. And no vote will be taken on item G. Moving on to item H, Commissioner Reddick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 75, 2 points with respect to the activities of the Mortgage Grant Fund. First, simply is the 2023-2024 grant cycle, which was the inaugural grant cycle. Reporting on the total disbursements there, 516,766. And then on the second, as we have now launched the 2025-2026 grant cycle, we have had the touch base calls to make assessment of the moderate risk grantees. And then we are also, and you'll see this later in the Finance Commission meeting, the rule review of the Texas Administrative Code, Chapter 51, Subchapter F, which has to do with the mortgage grant fund program. And that's kind of important.
Thank you. Commissioner Reda, any questions? No vote is required for item H, and there will not be a discussion or executive session for item I. So there being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned, and the time is 9:05 a.m.